Let's stand and recite the Lord's Prayer together as we continue our study with the Lord's Prayer. It's found in your bulletin. And as we recite the prayer together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today our focus is on the second half of the sixth petition, deliver us from evil. The first half, lead us not into temptation, is petitioning God to keep us from evil as we face trial. As we studied last week, during trials, we have two choices. One is to grow under the potter's hand, or the other is to choose to sin. The first half of petition 6 pleads that we stay under the guiding hand of the potter. So what does the second half mean? Deliver us from evil. Some Christians think that they can remove themselves from the world, and by removing themselves from the world, that they will be victorious over evil. If they just didn't have people or the culture or the society around them, they could then live a life free from evil. This is how the monastic movement came into being. A.B. Bruce, the great Scottish preacher and theologian, wrote in his book, Training of the Twelve, the ascetic theory of Christian virtue, which so soon began to prevail in the church, has been fully tested by time, and proved to be a huge and mischievous mistake. The verdict of history is conclusive, and a return to an exploded error, as some seem disposed to do, is utter folly. Bruce was right in this quote in his day, and one only needs to look at the Catholic priesthood and how it has been besieged by sexual sin to know that a monastic life does not give one victory over sin or remove one from evil. We shouldn't cloister ourselves from the rest of the world. In fact, Christ, as he was praying for his disciples in John 17, verse 9, said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. See, Christ prayed for his disciples to be left in the world because they were there to accomplish his purpose, his mission. That's what we were created and saved for, correct? We're not here for our own will, for our own desires. We are here to accomplish the mission and the purposes of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we have been saved for His glory. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. And you cannot be an ambassador for Christ if you go hide in a corner thinking that by hiding that you will be removed from evil. It's not possible. So the prayer isn't the prayer of an ascetic. It's a prayer to remove us from evil when we find ourselves in sin. If you think about it, petition number 6, the first half is for preventive grace, lead us not into temptation. In other words, keep me from evil. The last half is a prayer for assisting grace. When you find yourself in sin, God, I need help. I need deliverance. It's a prayer of delivery. Paul displayed this best in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. He writes, I find then a law that evil is present with me, one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then in verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul knew who he was. O wretched man that I am. You notice that he writes this in the present tense. This isn't talking about his past life. This is talking about his life as a believer. He's been redeemed. He's been saved. And as he struggles with sin in his life, he says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he thanks God for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ delivers. Paul knew that he needed deliverance. Paul hated the evil that he witnessed in his life. It shows a changed life, a transformed life. Because when you're in darkness, you love the darkness. You don't want to come to the light. But God calls us into the light, and as we are in the light, then we hate the darkness. Psalm 97:10 says, you who love the Lord hate evil. Part of the sign of us being redeemed is that we hate evil. Proverbs 8, verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Evil. That should be one of our characteristics as a believer. Compare this to the lost, to people that love evil. Proverbs 10:23 says, to do evil is like sport to a fool. To do evil is like sport to a fool. We've witnessed that, haven't we, in people that we know that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They love mischievousness. They love sin. It's a game to them. But for us, it shouldn't be a game. It should be an abomination. We should hate it. And the reason why we should hate it is that we haven't been reformed, but we've been regenerated. Turn, if you will, to Ezekiel 36, 25. Ezekiel 36, 25, as he mentions God's transforming power, and as God speaks through Ezekiel, he says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." He says that we don't have a reformed heart. He doesn't take our existing heart before Christ and just make us a better person. Doesn't do that. He takes that heart out of us and He gives us a new heart in a new spirit. And by giving us a new heart in a new spirit, then we can look and we can recognize evil and we hate it. The first part of the sixth petition, we say, "God, I don't want to be around it. Lead me not into temptation. I hate it. I don't like it." The last part of the sixth petition, and once we find ourselves in sin, we recognize that it wasn't us who figured God out. God called us, and it's only through the power of God that we're able to be delivered from evil. It's only, just like Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" It's only through Jesus Christ. I would submit to you that being able to pray petition 6 and mean it shows that we are a committed person, that we've been redeemed, we've been changed to the ways and teachings of Jesus Christ. And that's not out of our own works or righteousness. That's only through God. Only through Him can we hate evil. Only through Him do we want evil removed. Verse 27 says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Obedience isn't a choice. Some people believe that today in Christianity, that, "Oh yes, I've expressed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's okay if I choose to live a life of sin. It's okay if I'm not obedient. It's okay if I don't read my Bible. It's okay if I don't pray. It's okay if I don't give Him everything." That doesn't line up with verse 27, does it? "I will cause you to walk in my statutes and you will." Doesn't say might. You will keep my judgments and do them. The regenerated life isn't just a life for heaven. It's a life for now. That's why in 1 John 5, 3-5, it reads, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" That's why "deliver us from evil" isn't the prayer of a monastic. Now you may say, "I don't want to live in a monastery. I'm not tempted to go off and separate myself." But there's a lot of Christians, because the world is so evil, there's a natural tendency for us to remove ourselves from our mission. Now, the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." In other words, we're not to partake of the things of the world. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to be different. But our mission isn't one of hiding in a corner. Our mission is out working, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we work and share His gospel, one of the things that we have to do is make sure that we're pure and that we strive for holiness and that we deal with sin in our life on a regular basis, because, see, it's our testimony, isn't it? That evil doesn't have its hold on us. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Turn to Philippians 1. Philippians 1:3. I love this verse. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident in this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to complete His work in us as the redeemed people of Christ. That's why His commandments aren't burdensome. That's why we will overcome the world, because He will complete us. So many times people look at their Christian life as two bookends. One is the day of salvation. The other is when they get to heaven. And then in between, there's this big void. Is that really what God wanted? God doesn't want that. That's not God's plan. God's plan is He saved us and He will complete that good work until He returns. He's been completing that good work in the life of His believers since He ascended into heaven. That's why I love testimony. When you hear people say, I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I've been changed, transformed. Part of that change is dealing with sin in our life and say, deliver me from evil. Take it out of me. Get me out of my sin. It's the power of Jesus Christ. Which means we have to do a couple of things. First of all, we have to confess it. If you think about petition 6, deliver us from evil, it's a recognition that we have evil within us. Just as Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. It's dealing with sin. Acknowledging it. Acknowledging who God is and who we are. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. Looking at verse 5 of 1 John 1, it reads, this is the message which we've heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now some people think, well, gee, that's great. I can continue to willfully sin and I just have a quick little confession after I willfully sin, after I use the liberty of Christ as a license to sin, and I'm okay. That's all right, because God tells us to confess our sins. We put the chapters and the verses in the Bible. They weren't originally there, which is important to know that, because then just look at the next verse at the beginning of chapter 2. He says, my little children, these things I write you so that you may not sin. So that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. In other words, not only do we have to confess, but we have to also be obedient We have to be obedient. When you think about the Lord's Prayer, and you think about as we ask for forgiveness of sins in petition 5, and then in petition 6, we're dealing with the recognition of evil, not only in our society, but also after we succumb to it and find ourselves in sin. Too many times believers come to church with the church face on. We've all been to churches like that, haven't we? With the church face, where people all act perfect for an hour like they have no problems. And then they leave and go right back to what they are doing. It's not what the church is about. The church is about us loving one another, caring for one another, supporting one another. You cannot have that unless you live a transparent life. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have to confess it. We have to strive for obedience. Which leads us to Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. I love in the English Standard Version, it says training us. That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who Himself gave for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify Himself for His own special people, zealous for good works. I love in verse 12 when that teaching us or training us. See, God trains us. Are you going to reach perfection here in this life? No, you're not going to. It's that recognition that we live in an evil society and that we sometimes succumb to evil and we cry out to our Heavenly Father that He teaches us to deny ungodliness. He trains us. We get to a point in our life and we conquer a sin in our life. But then God calls us to the next step, doesn't He? We get a little bit further along the road in our walk, which is why He says that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people zealous for good works. Deliver us from evil. It means that we hate sin. We want it out of our life. And we want to find ourselves acceptable to a holy and loving God who gave His Son so that we might have life. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. Are you running the race? Are you just taking your salvation for granted? Are you evaluating your life? Are you pressing on? Are you striving? That's what God's called us to do. And part of that is the recognition of sin in our life and the confession of it, a prayer for deliverance. If you're not evaluating your life on a daily basis, not with what your neighbor's doing, not with what your friends are doing, but against the mark of Jesus Christ, if you're not doing that, just right where you're at, look at your life. Look at it in the light of Christ. Are you living the life that Christ has called you for? If you're not, just right where you are, just confess. Give all of your life to Christ. Deal with the evil that's in your life. Confess it. He'll give you the power to overcome it. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ. You've not been walking with Christ. You don't recognize Him as Savior and Lord. You've not confessed your sins. You've not repented. If you've never met Jesus Christ, He's ready to meet you. If you confess your sins, repent, ask for forgiveness of sins, recognize Him as Savior and Lord of your life. If you've not done that, I'd invite you to do that. He's ready. Our Father, I pray that if someone needs to make a decision today, that they'd do so. We just thank You for Your love. We thank You that You are completing the work that you set out in us. I pray that we'd have confidence and trust in that. I pray that we would align our life with that fact, our will, and that we'd rest in your power. I pray, Lord, that we would relinquish our life to you. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? If he is, don't delay.